Hello and welcome back to episode 12 of the From the Nosebleeds podcast. We are back after a 1 week break,
a bye week,
some load management going on in the studio, but we are back and we're very excited to get into the 12th installment and talk some NFL today. As always, Thomas Parkernick, joined by Thomas Coburn.
Hello, hello.
And producer Paulo Gismondi in studio.
With a mic.
With a
again,
mic today.
Always back to back episodes.
Say hi, Paulo, please.
Hi, guys.
Perfect. Yeah, we're back. We're ready to get into it. It was a bit of a dull period in the NFL for a while, but now that we're back with the combine starting yesterday, we are ready to get into some good conversation.
But before we start, what episode is this?
Today's episode 12.
So it is the Atlanta Falcons Mohamed Sanu episode.
Oh, yeah, because he doesn't even wear 12.
Well, you know.
Is that allowed? Because he's a current player in the NFL, but he doesn't wear 12.
Well, who's a better 12 to ever play?
Yeah.
Can't think of
it. Yeah, I can't think of any there.
Sanu, greatest slot receiver ever, regarded as.
And greatest wide receiver quarterback ever. Have you seen his numbers as a quarterback?
Yes.
They're unbelievable.
They're better than Brady's.
They're better than Taysom Hill's. And that's the gold standard when looking at quarterbacks. So I do like the nod to Mohamed Sanu. If it were my decision, and I know it's not, because this is completely your segment.
Yes.
I don't want to barge into your territory here, but I would have given Andrew Luck some love. Because I think the whole entire NFL misses Andrew Luck. And I don't know if you've seen these videos recently, but they've been pretty hot on social media. Guy by the name of Joey Molinaro. He does the Colin Coward impersonations down to a T. But he's gotten into the Andrew Luck ones recently. I haven't seen them. They're pretty good. They're not as good as his Colin Coward ones. But no, they are pretty good. So we might have to check those out midway through the episode. Maybe just start watching.
Speaking of Twitter videos, before we really get into this episode, did you see John Gruden with Frank Kelly at the Aerosmith concert?
Which I think is like, I was starting to think about this. So obviously when the camera's on or whatever, Frank Caliendo's impersonating John Gruden, whatever. That's the first time they met through impersonations. I don't know if you remember a couple years ago, they did that segment on Monday Night Football Countdown.
Yeah, the Monday Morning Quarterback. Or not,
or Gruden's Grinder or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so they met through Caliendo impersonating Gruden. So I just kind of thought about them actually hanging out as friends. And I don't know if they went to the concert together or if they just bumped into
each other
there. They went together.
I think. Well, they were sitting beside.
So, like,
I don't know.
You think midway through the concert, they're just enjoying it, and then Caliendo starts impersonating Gruden beside him?
Well, no, this is what happened. He retweeted the video, like, he quote tweeted it, and, like, wrote out some stuff. He was like, John Gruden did this on his phone, and I made him send it to me. Like, it was his idea. He didn't know he was going to do it. So, John Gruden's a good sport. Like, he just out of the blue did it.
Yeah, because some guys don't like being impersonated. Like, his famous one's the John Madden. From what I've heard and from watching some Frank Caliendo videos, was Madden wasn't the biggest fan early on.
At first, yeah, no.
But no, that is great, and everyone loves John Gruden, so
you can't
go wrong.
I love him.
All right, let's get into some conversation today, and what I want to start with is Joe Burrow, who is unanimous, the number one prospect in this draft. Everyone thinks the Bengals will take him.
But will he be able to hold the football?
Yeah, with those small hands.
The small hands.
And he's kind of been outspoken about that too. You know, he made a joke out of it, which some people don't like. Some people are seeing Baker Mayfield with Joe Burrow, but we'll get into that later. But there's been some suggestion around the league that he should pull an Eli Manning or a John Elway and just come out and say, if the Bengals draft me, I'm not playing for you. Just because the Bengals have been such a bad organization for so long, and even when they were good a couple years ago, they never won a playoff game. And Carson Palmer was first overall pick there, I believe. His career was pretty much ruined by them. He had so many injuries, never won a playoff game with them.
Rocket, though.
Yeah, the Red Rocket.
Red Rocket.
They won the AFC North a few years again.
Well, they made the playoffs, I think, like 3 or 4 years in a row.
Yeah, they were a winning team, but they just
say a dynasty.
They can never get over the hump and win a playoff game. So a lot of people really aren't a fan of this franchise and how they manage their players, just their overall mindset to winning. So do you think Joe Burrow should hold out? I know he kind of came out and said, I'm going to play for the Bengals if they select me with the number one overall pick, which I was kind of disappointed by because we could have had two solid months of speculation and thinking like, oh, who's going to trade up and draft Joe Burrow? It doesn't look like it's going to happen, but if you were in his shoes, I guess is what I'm getting at, do you think you would want to avoid Cincinnati?
The only reason that I would want to avoid Cincinnati would be because you're going to play in that AFC North, and that's a terrible division, I think, to start as a quarterback in. You're playing a bunch of good defenses, whatever, right? It's cold weather. But other than that, I kind of like the Bengals, like what they're doing. They have good young receivers, Tyler Boyd, right?
Yeah.
And you have, like, Mixon was the AFC leading rusher, what, 2 years ago?
Last year.
And their offensive line was completely hurt this whole year. Mm-hmm. It's like, Joe Mixon's really good, but also that offensive line helped him the year before. So you have a good running, you should have a much better running game than you did this year. Even if it was like, Mixon still did all right, but it was a significant drop-off, right? Yeah, I know, I had him in fantasy, so.
He had some good weeks, he had some terrible weeks.
Yeah, but again, that's part, you need an offensive line.
Exactly.
Running back can't do everything himself, right? So you have that, and then you put in Joe Burrow, and it's like, well, now, if he is who he thinks he is, you now have a capable quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that the Bengals winning, like, six games.
Yeah, and Joe Burrow, he's 23 years old. He's older than Lamar Jackson. So he's not some young kid who has no experience or... Like, I think Joe Burrow is very, very ready to play in the NFL from day one. He's not going to take a year off. He's going to be thrown in there. And now it's the pieces around him. You mentioned that he has some decent wide receivers. Tyler Boyd looks really good. John Ross... When he's on the field, he has the speed that he can change the game. We don't really know what's going to happen with A.J. Green. Does look like he wants out of there, and he didn't play a snap last season. But Joe Mixon's there, who a quarterback's best friend is having a good run game. So I think it's really the offensive line that they need to add pieces to. They've tried improving it through the draft the past couple of years.
And they still have Eifert, right?
Yeah, he's just been so banged up the past few years. I don't think he's really the guy he used to be, but he's still a big target over the middle, which...
It's not like they have no tight end presence at all.
It's something that helps a young quarterback. So I think the biggest part with Burrow is the offensive line. That being said, I think the situation is a little bit exaggerated. I don't think it's quite as bad as what the Chargers were when Eli Manning didn't want to play with them and what the Colts were when Elway held out. They do have some pieces there. It's just a matter of can they protect Joe Burrow, which is going to be very, very important for his immediate success.
And listen, he does have a little bit of athleticism, right?
So yeah.
He should be able to avoid some hits. But yeah, he's still going to need a halfway decent offensive line to have any success. But honestly, I think it's not a terrible situation.
I just think it looks so bad on you. Like, it immediately puts a target on your back. And I just think it's really frowned upon. That's the way I view it anyways. If a guy, you have the opportunity to be the first overall pick in the draft, you should be the guy that regardless, say, if I'm this good, I'm being picked first overall, I can change any franchise. So for you to already show some sort of lack of resilience in the sense that, you know what, I don't really want to play here, I just don't think it's a good look. And I think Burrow believes that he is... Like, there's no shortage of confidence in Burrow. We can see it. Some people call him cocky. Some people say he's confident. But he's a guy that believes he is going to be great. So I don't see why he'd want to already do that.
Yeah, like, it's being overblown.
I think so, too. And it was a suggestion from a former number one overall pick originally who said he spoke to Burrow and his family. And I think he was drafted by the Falcons. I can't remember the quarterback's name. But... He was drafted by a bad organization, and his career suffered from it. I just think these kids are so confident nowadays that, you know, they're in the NFL. They're happy to be there. They're going to play for whoever. And you are very right when you say that it is definitely overblown. But something that also has the tendency to be overblown at times is the NFL Combine. And that started yesterday in Indianapolis. We had day one, which was... quarterbacks and receivers, and the combine gets a lot of attention, And a lot of times we see some guys who steal the show at the combine really skyrocket their draft stock. Key example who we just talked about minutes ago, John Ross, broke the record for the 40-yard dash time and was drafted
14th, I believe.
Yeah, he was high in the first round. And he has not had the on-field impact thus far in his career that really warranted that high of a selection. So I just figured we could shell off some thoughts on how important the NFL Combine really is. And if it is, like, I think to some extent it is
drafted
important.
Ninth overall, ninth by overall. The way. Yeah, I just checked. Yeah, so perfect. Even higher than 14th, yeah.
Yeah, so exactly. That's a key example. Someone shows up to the Combine, you know, they do their thing. But the fact of the matter is, that is one attribute that you need to succeed in the NFL. That is, you're just running in a straight line, 40 yards. A lot of these guys can run. A lot of these guys have the speed. So I just think that scouts have a tendency to really overvalue what the combine says.
Here's the thing with the combine. I don't think a combine should... If I'm like a scout, which I'm not, so whatever. Take this for the
granted. Who are you to tell me what the combine...
Yeah, I'm a professional scout. So if you watch tape and the player looks really good, whatever position it is, but they don't test well, I don't think it should matter.
Yeah.
Like, even if you look at DK Metcalf, his three cone drill, people were like freaking out.
Yeah, because it was like, he had the agility of Tom Brady, but the speed of...
Yeah, it's like, well, yeah, he's a huge guy. He's not going to be able to do the three cone drill really well. It's like, that shouldn't have dropped his draft stock at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, look at the tape. Do you like what you see or not? But I think the combine is great for maybe like lower end prospects entering. And it's like, you see, okay... For example, if it's John Ross, oh, he has 4.22 speed. He's the fastest guy to ever run the 40-yard dash. It's like, not in his position, but let's say you see a wide receiver do that, whatever. It's like, okay, there's some potential there.
Yeah, someone who wasn't really regarded as anything before, if he does that, he can really make an
impact. Exactly, and a scout sees, okay, or a coach sees, I think we can unlock something there and make that player much better than he was in college. Well, then the combine's great, but... If you're a coach or whatever, and it's like, oh, the bench press, like he only did 15 reps, whatever. Yeah. It's like, well, if he's good on the field, he's good on the field. It doesn't matter.
I think for me, the combine is almost like the final ingredient. It's more for assurance purposes. I'll give you a prime example. I think it was 2 years ago now, and Paulo's going to love this because he's a big Notre Dame fan. But Quentin Nelson was like, this guy is a beast coming out of college. He is going to wreck the league. Physically, he's a monster. He wins all these battles. He's already ready to compete with NFL-type linemen. So he had all this hype. He went into the combine, and he delivered. His on-field play matched his combine numbers. He destroyed the bench press. All his numbers in the combine were good. That assured NFL scouts that what I'm seeing on the field translates physically as well. But if you're looking at a product on the field and it's not great, but then a guy comes out with these monster combine numbers, it really doesn't tell me much. As well, if you're doing great stuff on the field and then your combine numbers are sort of lacking, I look at these things that they're more physical attributes. They can be improved drastically. You can work on your strength. You can get that bench press number up. But your football IQ and your decision-making on the field is something that I think is more, this is what you're getting coming out of college. Yes, it improves a little bit, but really that is, I think, more important to look for in a player.
Yeah, like that's why I said, like if you're knowing you're going to pick this guy, oh, we're looking to pick him in the sixth or seventh round, and you have like five guys, you're like, these might be our sixth round pick. It's like, well, then, yeah, you can look at their combine numbers and be like, oh, well, look, he's got these really raw skills that we can do something with. But like, if I'm a top quarterback or whatever, like I just wouldn't go.
A lot of these guys are doing that, or they're showing up, they're talking to the media, but they're not taking questions.
Like I don't have anything to prove.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Joe Burrow didn't participate in anything yesterday. He just kind of, he signed a Bengals jersey. He did that. Yeah. But one thing I do think is important, but this isn't really physical testing, is the throwing drills the quarterbacks go through. I think that is something to look at. But at the same time, they're not being pressured. There's no action around them. There's no all this noise to tune out. There's no offense that they have to lead down the field. So, yeah, it's great to see, oh, you know, this guy threw a 60-yard bomb right in the hands. He's pretty much playing backyard football.
The throwing drills can really only drop your stock.
Yeah,
you're a top level quarterback. Like, if
you're expected to hit the
receiver. If Joe Burrow goes in and starts hitting all these throws, it's like, okay.
Yeah, this is what we expect.
This is what we're drafted. This is what we want from you.
We already watched this in the film, whereas if one guy goes and is just missing everyone by 10 yards, you are very right when you say that. It can only really drop your draft stock. So today, I mentioned at the beginning of the episode that we hit a bit of a dry spell in the NFL, but the combine kind of, you know, started some more conversation up again. So the combine's this week. Once we get into March, we're into free agency. And then in April, we have, of course, the draft, which gets a lot of hype around. So we wanted to save our free agency sort of preview for next week. And obviously, the draft is something that we don't want to rush into before the combine finishes and before free agency is wrapped up. So we thought it would be the perfect opportunity to open up our Instagram to questions, and then we can answer those questions on the podcast. So we posted last night for any questions to come in, and we actually got a lot of responses, which we're super excited about. So I think we'll kind of dive right into these Q&As because there are a lot of good ones.
There's some good questions.
So we can take a while. So producer Paulo, we have trusted you to ask us.
Are you there, Paulo?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
Making sure.
We have trusted you to ask us the best questions out of the bunch.
They all better be top quality.
So pressure's on. And
I'm feeling it right now.
All right.
Heart's beating.
I can see the sweat just beating
just
down.
Dripping down the forehead there.
Don't let it get into the mics.
All right. Question number one, Paulo. Let's hear.
Okay. Question number one is, who is the biggest sleeper wide receiver in this draft? I have my own opinion on this.
I know who he's going to say. And I think I really agree with him. And I
know who you're going to say, too, because I've heard him talk about him. Paulo, you want to just answer this question?
Yeah, I will.
Okay. This can be Paulo's question.
My Notre Dame boy, the Canadian stud, Chase Claypool. What a beast. As Nick Spadafino would say, what a specimen.
Yes.
Wow, this guy can play.
I think, as the producer, Paulo, because he's Canadian, you got to find a way to get him on the show. We got to have him as a guest.
Could you imagine that? Oh, my God.
Let's get him on.
Let's get him on.
He's my background.
Next week... Doesn't he wear number 13? No.
83.
Okay. So episode 83, we'll have Chase Claypool on, the Chase Claypool episode.
No, he'll be on next week. 100%. We're assuring the audience that next week
he'll be on. Let's get him on. Honestly, Canadian, we'll shoot him a DM on Instagram and say, come on our show next Friday, 12 to 1. He can even come down right in the Alan Slate Radio Institute, too.
I'm sure he's in Toronto. Why not, right?
Why not? Well, it's his home, so... Yeah. No, I do agree.
He's from BC.
Oh, okay. BC. He's probably a Seahawks fan. But he does look really good. He showed out at the combine, definitely. I know we just talked about how the combine means absolutely nothing, but he had great combine numbers, and he was good enough for Notre Dame.
I take everything back I said. The combine numbers mean everything.
So that's why he's going to be the best. Actually, we're really contradicting ourselves here.
Yeah.
But I saw a stat. So this is not me telling you this. This is a stat that I saw. He actually is the first wide receiver over 6'4 and 240 pounds to run under a 4.45, I think, which he's the first one to do that since Megatron. And I think they're the only two. So that's
so already... when are they fitting him for his jacket?
Oh, yeah, the Hall of Fame. When's he getting his line? The line's got to draft this guy. He's the next Megatron.
That's true. Well, no, I want him to have a long career.
Chase
Claypool.
So
he probably shouldn't get drafted by the line.
Chase Claypool, the next Megatron. He comes in, torches DBs for four seasons, and then retires.
A little bit longer than four seasons.
After the Lions just don't make the playoffs. So, Tua to Chase Claypool for the Lions.
What a duo.
All right, Paulo, next question. You're up.
So this could be our last draft question. Or combine, sorry. Okay. Favorite running back in this draft?
Ruggs.
Oh, Ruggs. Because he just runs fast, even though he's a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go with Jalen Hurts.
No, by the way, people, I just said that because before the show, I made a joke. Even though you guys didn't hear it, the co-host heard. But I don't know why I said that, to be honest with you. I said that as a joke, and now I look like a fool.
Well, I thought you were
because nobody
go with,
heard the inside joke.
I thought you were going to go with at least Jalen Hurts, because that's a little bit more creative, and it plays into the whole Lamar Jackson.
What was the question? Wait, just my favorite running back?
Favorite running back in the draft.
Who's yours?
All
DeAndre
year.
Swift?
I've been... I do like Swift.
I think he's my favorite.
But early on in the year, I just had this vision that Tua is going to be handing the ball off to Jonathan Taylor for the Dolphins next season. So I really followed Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin very well throughout the season. So I'll give him my nod, favorite running back.
What do you think of J.K. Dobbins?
He's decent too. He's got some speed.
Got some burners on him.
Yeah. He almost looks like a Tyreek Hill playing running back. I think the running backs are today at the combine, but I think he's going to do a fantastic time on the 40. Next question.
Let's just do a quick follow-up to that, to Ruggs. Was his 40 a disappointment?
You want to take
this? Oh, wait, sorry. This was a Q&A question, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. No.
I have a strong opinion on this.
No, it was not a disappointment. If you're anywhere near, if you're in the 4.2s, like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's... You're like splitting hairs if you're like, oh, well, he didn't get to 4.22, which is kind of crazy. Like, I mean, it is kind of a big difference in a 40-yard dash. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that really shows you how fast John Ross actually
is. It does.
Is.
But I also think there's something to be said running with the ball as well. Ball in your hand, yeah, on the field. Because I think Tyreek Hill's faster than John Ross. No question. I think Tyreek Hill's the fastest player in the NFL. Even though John Ross had a better 40 time, I think Ruggs beat Tyreek Hill's 40 time, which tells me something. So I get it. Some people were hoping that this guy breaks the record. Guess what? Records are records for a reason. They're very difficult to be broken. Just the fact that he posted a 4.27 and he beat Tyreek Hill's number, I don't think you can have any complaints whatsoever.
Not bad for a running back.
Yeah. That being said, I don't think this boosts his draft stock, because it's exactly the same point what you made about Joe Burrow. If Joe Burrow went out in the throwing drill and hit every single receiver right in the chest, right in the hands, we would say, okay, that's what we watched all season. Ruggs was so fast all season for Alabama, so we didn't learn anything.
But I'll tell you why he upped his draft stock. He upped his draft stock because of he's the first player to run a 4.2 time, and then his vertical, like, I saw this, like, yesterday, like, right after he ran or whatever, right? And, his vertical, like, his jump was not comparable to people who were in 4.2. He jumped
so you're
much
saying
better.
He's, yeah, but he was... So the knock on John Ross when John Ross came into college was he just has speed. Ruggs all season long was a great receiver. So again, I don't think it's like... I don't think he's just a speed guy. He's a great receiver who runs really, really fast. Of course, people are going to say, oh, like, now he's more known. But if I'm a scout, I didn't learn anything yesterday.
Yeah.
I was just shown what I
What'd you think of the CD Lamb catch?
That was incredible. I think there's one question that asks about our favorite wide receivers coming out of this draft. I don't want to play spoiler, but I'm a big CD Lamb fan.
All right.
Cool name too.
Star potential there, yeah, with the name.
Next question's up.
Okay, does Dak Prescott have the talent to make Dallas a Super Bowl contender under McCarthy?
Does Dak?
I think so.
Well, yes, I think he does have the talent, but it's like I don't know how to describe this. He's not going to carry the team, so he doesn't really need to have that much talent.
Dak almost
he's good
enough.
He almost good
threw 5,000 yards last.
Listen,
year.
He's good enough to win the Super Bowl, but
yeah,
he's not. But I still think he's a game manager.
I don't think Dak's a game manager.
I think he is.
I think if Dak was wearing any other uniform, he'd get a lot more credit. Does he need to work on his consistency? Yes. But the entire Cowboys organization was a mess last year. So I'm excited to see how he does under a new head coach. I think he's of the caliber of quarterback to win you a Super Bowl, because I put him in that Carson Wentz sort of tier.
That's wild to me. But anyway.
If you look at their numbers over their career, they are pretty much identical, which is crazy.
But,
and Wentz has been injury riddled. He hasn't had a season as good as Carson Wentz's MVP year.
Right.
Yeah.
And also last year, like, the fact that they didn't win that division with, like, Philly,
yeah, that was embarrassing
injuries. Like,
yeah, exactly. No, you are right when you say that. what I was getting to is I think he's a caliber quarterback to do that, but he's not the most important player on that offense.
No.
Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott are far more important in my
opinion. I would say Zeke. I don't know. Amari Cooper kind of gets locked against top-tier corners, I find.
Yes, but Amari opens up the field.
Yes, yes, fair enough.
So,
yep. Even for guys like Gallup and stuff to get going, right?
Exactly.
Okay, from friend of the show, Stefano, about my Colts. If you're the Colts, would you sign Teddy Bridgewater, Philip Rivers, draft a QB, or stick it out with Brissett?
Draft a QB if he's when you're drafting. If your guy's there, draft him. Don't settle. And then if the guy they want gets drafted, I'd sign Teddy Bridgewater. I think he's the best quarterback out of those guys.
That's I am a Teddy B fan. I'd draft a quarterback and I'd sign Philip Rivers. And then you have to make a decision on what you do with Jacoby Brissett because he still has 1 year left on his contract. But I think drafting a young quarterback, you're not going to get Tua, you're not going to get Joe Burrow, you're not going to get Justin Herbert. So from there, you got Jordan Love, you got Jacob Eason, and then Jalen Hurts kind of falls into play. You know, there's a couple of other guys, but I think if you're going to draft a quarterback for the Colts, you want him to be your next guy. You're going to use a first-round pick on him. And then I think Philip Rivers is the perfect mentor just in terms of work ethic, you know, learning the playbook. He's done so much in his entire career. So
and I then think, trade Brissett?
Yeah, you can maybe find a trade. Someone like Chicago who just wants to bring a guy in to kind of
compete
rival
Trubisky. Yeah.
Trubisky. But yeah, very good question.
I know we've talked about Tom Brady a lot on this podcast, but his like future. But if you have like an updated place on where he'll go, answer that. And then also, do you think you'd be able to lead that team to a Super Bowl?
Patriots and yes. I still think he's going back.
You still think he's going to the Patriots?
I still think he's going back to the Patriots. And yes, they can go back to the Super Bowl. Boring answer. I know. That's what's going to happen.
You think this is like all propaganda that it's now looking less likely?
No, not
ever?
Propaganda. I truly believe that he's looking at other teams.
Yeah.
But I just think that he's going to decide in the end, all right, I'm going back to New England.
I don't know about this one. And we talked how he should go back to New England, how it's not a good idea to, you know, go anywhere else. But as the clock continues to tick, I'm thinking there's an increased likelihood that Brady is playing in the same division as Patrick Mahomes next year, whether it be for the Los Angeles Chargers or the Las Vegas, Raiders. I don't know why. I don't see this move bringing him any more glory in his career.
No.
But I also think that whether Brady calls it quits today or if he plays two more seasons and goes 7-9, I don't think it's going to change anything in terms of his legacy. It's the Brady haters, and I'll put myself in this category, will be able to use it as fuel to say, oh, you know what? It was all Belichick. But the main narrative is always going to be that Tom Brady is the GOAT. So I do think he's going to leave New England, and I don't think that he's going to ever see another Lombardi.
If he's leaving, he has to go to the Chargers. I don't know why he would ever go to Vegas. Like, it's just not the situation you want to be in. They're not ready to win right now.
I know. Who knows what Tom's doing?
Unless he gets a piece of ownership or something, I don't know why you would, like, what's the upside? Whatever. We've talked about this, and
exactly. No, but it is a good debate.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that the Dolphins will trade up for Tua?
I think they're prepared to. I hope they don't. I really, really hope that they don't. But if they need to, they will.
I don't think they... You know what? I was thinking, I was like, what are the Lions going to do? Because I'm obviously closely watching them. And I have, like, no faith, so I really thought that they wouldn't pick Tua. I want them to pick Tua, by the way, if you don't know. But I want them to pick Tua. But what I thought they would do is they're just going to draft somebody in that spot, which is the worst possible thing to do. If you're the Lions, you have to pick Tua or trade back.
Yeah.
And this whole time I'm thinking they're just going to pick... I don't even really know. They have options, but I thought they were going to use the pick. Now I think that the Panthers might be a team
interested in Tua?
Because I think that's the best case scenario for the Lions. If you have the Panthers and Dolphins bidding to get that pick.
I mean, nobody can outbid the Dolphins, and that's a good thing.
Well, yes, that's true. Because
they have so much draft capital.
Well, no one can outbid them, but will the Dolphins be willing to give up that much, right?
And the Lions are then in a perfect position to just juice them of, of really everything they
have. And by the way, that whole time, they could probably not even want to at
all. That's exactly what the 49ers did.
With Trubisky.
With Trubisky. So pretty much Lions are going to be in the Super Bowl in like probably 2 to 3 years.
Probably.
You just got a draft. I think they drafted, oh, it was Solomon Thomas that year, who really hasn't even turned out to be
an
incredible player. But
better than Trubisky.
Yeah, exactly. I think the Dolphins are ready to trade up for Tua. Ideally, of course, they don't want to. They'd rather sit with all their first-round picks and just select a bunch of great players who are going to come in and change the organization. But as well, I think the Lions will, even if they don't want Tua, they will try really hard to play their cards.
Well, all these rumors of, oh, they're thinking about Tua, that's just purposely got leaked.
It's smokescreen, exactly. So
unless they are actually taking him.
To answer the question, because it just simply asks, will the Dolphins trade up for him? I'm going to say no, because I'm an optimist, but they're prepared.
I'd say yeah. If the Dolphins get him, they're trading up for him.
You think so? You don't think he'll be there at five?
He's not going to just fall.
That's an interesting opinion. I think always quarterbacks just, every year it looks like, oh, you know, this team's going to draft their quarterback at 22. They end up having to draft him at 12 just because quarterbacks are so valuable that everyone, oh, you know, I don't want a quarterback. You do. Give me your pick.
Yeah.
That's what teams do. But no, good debate. Next question.
What do the Seahawks need to do to compete with the 49ers next season?
I think the Seahawks are already competing with the 49ers. You look at how I think it was week 17.
They were 1 yard short.
Exactly. 1 yard short of having the division.
They would have had the 2 seed, I think.
I think the Saints would have.
Oh yeah, you're right. I think so, right? Yeah.
But they would have won the division. They're 1 yard away. They now have a home playoff game, and really everything changes from there. So, the Seahawks are still a young team. Soon, I think they're going to start to get hurt by that Russell Wilson contract, but not yet, just because they have a lot of young players. But for me, it's still shoring up that O-line just to make sure Wilson really has the best protection possible.
Yeah, O-line, they could strengthen up their defense a bit in certain areas, but if you're a Seahawks fan and you went into next year with that exact same team, like, you can compete for your division no problem.
I think we have time for a couple more.
Yeah, sure. One or two.
I don't know how much digging you're doing here.
Two more? Okay, Paulo has two ready. Okay.
He's got two. His bag's loaded.
Yeah.
So the next is, who is the sleeper team for next year?
I think this is always a fun question.
Yeah. I haven't thought about this.
Of course, last year was the 49ers.
Yep.
The year before was kind of the Rams. We knew they were coming.
Never mind.
All right, I'll let you go for it.
The sleeper of the year.
You're going to say the Bucs.
It's the Buccaneers.
Oh, my goodness.
Jameis eye surgery. That's why I said they're going back to Super Bowl. back to Super Bowl from like 10 years ago, whatever. Even longer now.
New uniforms, too, for the Bucs.
The orange?
Yeah. It's coming.
I don't see a way they don't win the Super Bowl next year.
I don't see a way that Jameis doesn't break every single record,
including interceptions. But then when he gets to playoffs, no interceptions.
Imagine Jameis Winston squinting on the sidelines. What do you think of? Probably just threw an interception. You know, the offense is a disaster. He's not hitting his receivers today. Then imagine Jameis Winston not squinting on the sidelines because he just had laser eye surgery. What's that going to translate to? Just lasers down the field, high pace offense. So, honestly, Super Bowl, not a bad take. But for my answer, oh gosh, this is a pretty hard question. Every year there seems to be one team. San Fran was to the surprise of a lot. But now looking back on it, I guess 2020 hindsight, but they had a returning Jimmy G. They had one of the best defenses in the NFL. Maybe we're all just fools to not thinking that they are going to be any good. Early prediction, I'm going to go with the Chargers. I'd love to see how this team plays their cards in free agency and in the draft, but I think if they put the right pieces into that team, because they already have a lot of talent, they can be really good next year. So Chargers, Bucks, Super Bowl, I guess.
The final question, the most hard-hitting question of the whole Q&A. Ready for football?
This one comes in from at Mika underscore George underscore 33.
Am I ready for football?
No, not that. Oh, ready wait. For football. He just says.
Oh, just ready.
He just says ready
is
for football.
Question, is there a question mark?
Yeah, oh, it's three. There's three question marks. So there's mass confusion here. When you drop three question marks, is he asking us if he's ready for football? Is he ready for football?
No, I think he sent a question mark.
Is he asking, is anyone ready for football?
He sent the question mark for one of each of us. That's what
That's very interesting.
I know I'm ready for football because it's the XFL, baby. I knew you were
gonna say that.
0-3, my Vipers. Yes!
Honestly, say that. Ready for football? No, I'm not ready for football. I'm enjoying the offseason. Unlike, well, maybe it's because I like other sports. If you're just a football person, it's got to be
football. That must be grueling. I've never thought about that.
I'm enjoying the lead up to the playoffs for hockey and basketball and baseball just around the corner, wearing the Blue Jays hat today.
Vlad,
so
we gotta go watch Vlad soon.
So you know what, ready for football? Not yet.
I love that answer. I know Paulo's just loving the XFL.
The XFL.
And I've tried my best to
You're on board with me now, right?
No, I'm not yet on board with you. I still think it's fun. I'm following the Seattle Dragons on all social medias, and my background right now is a Seattle Dragons wallpaper. So I'm really trying my best to stay in the loop of the XFL, but it's the Walmart version, as the kids are saying nowadays. But to answer the question of ready for football, I'm going to have to agree with you. And we don't talk about other sports on this podcast.
Let us know if you'd like to in a couple of weeks after the draft, because then it's like, what are we going to do?
Yeah, then it's we can just predict, mass prediction for the next 5 months.
Yeah.
So, no, we might actually have to get into some other sports. But I'm really enjoying, as you, the lead up to the NHL playoffs right now. And the NBA playoffs are always interesting, especially when the Raptors are making waves. And, of course, MLB, which I think I'm going to do my best to pay a little more attention to this year.
Go to a couple of Jays games
in
there.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. The $6 tickets to sit at the top. So
where are we sitting?
At the top.
You got to finish it.
Are you kidding?
Are you kidding?
Where are we sitting?
What's the top called?
Belfield.
Oh, my God. What's our show called?
Oh, the nosebleeds.
Oh, wow. I put it on a tee for you and you just missed.
Oh, boy. Paulo might have to cut that part out. But, see, you know what? That's such an unfair question because I'm so focused on answering this ready for football. Like, how am I supposed to concentrate on anything else?
You're locked in on if you're ready for football or not.
But ready for football, no. No question mark. That's my answer.
No question mark or no period?
No, just with a question mark. Like, no.
Okay.
Like I don't know what to tell this guy.
Yeah, I need August. August, I'll be August, I'm ready for football.
Okay. That's fair. Paulo's ready for football all year round. All year round.
College, XFL, NFL.
I was watching Paulo do some work the other day on the podcast. I looked over his computer. He was on NFLshop.com. He had 32 items in his cart, and I looked in his cart and it was 32 jerseys, one from each team with Claypool 83 custom. just ready to click buy as soon as he gets drafted.
I can't wait to tell Claypool that next week when he's on the show.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Stay tuned for Claypool.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Listen, we're going to get him on. I'm sure of it.
I'll pull some strings, don't worry.
The strings will be pulled and he will be on.
But I think that's going to do it all for today's episode. To everyone who asked questions, thank you very much. If we didn't get to your questions, we're just not ready
just
for
ask,
football.
Ask again next time.
We're just not ready for football.
Yeah.
But that is going to do it. If you made it to the end, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe, rate us on all our platforms, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you listen.
Write a review, too.
Yeah,
write a review.
Those are always fun to read.
Yeah.
So yeah, come back next week. We got episode 13, Chase Claypool. It's looking like about a 94% chance so far that he's here, but again, no guarantee.
That's 6%. Something could happen.
Something could happen. Exactly.
He could say no.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Take it easy.